Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Government ignores the people, both their interests and views, in favor of special interests, campaign donors, and their parties. And among Donald Trump supporters, those views are especially intense. Those were the findings of the University of Maryland's Program for Public Consultation. They studied 2,411 registered voters. It was conducted in the midst of the election, and their findings were very interesting. We'll be talking about them with Stephen Cull, who's joined us before. They do these really interesting studies. Citizen government. They really deliberate all sides of an issue and then come up with recommendations. He thinks it might be a good idea for these to be in place in every congressional district so people in Washington can hear the views of people all over the country. He'll be joining us in just one moment here on the Ideas Network, but also we got a busy week going on because this is also our year-end membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn, delighted to have John Munson with me in our studios here in Milwaukee. This is, of course, listener support Wisconsin Public Radio. And it's time for you to think about how much you have learned from. Have we learned or have we learned and enjoyed WPR programs in 2016? And think about how you'd like to keep them going strong in 2017. And then take action with your gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Mr. John Munson, hello.
Well, good afternoon, Kathleen. Seems like we were just doing this.
I know it does. It does. But it's so nice to have you here again.
Well, I'm so happy to be here with you this afternoon, Kathleen. And we had, of course, last hour we heard from a few of you. Thank you so much for those pledges. This hour, a new hour, new goal. Our goal is to get 15 pledges before 2 o'clock this afternoon. And you, that's you. Yes, I'm speaking to you. Can help us meet this goal by making your contribution right now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. You'll be joining a lot of really fine people when you make your pledge, like our listener from Green Bay who says, with all the technology available to us now, we tend to forget the real joy of flipping on the radio and having access to such a huge variety of programs. It's time to say thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, you're welcome, and thank you, listener in Green Bay. You can join that person. The programs you enjoy, we'll be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your support.
There is some confusion about how we are funded, and we do get tax dollars, but we also, well, we get funding from the federal government and also from the state. But you should know that listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
Absolutely. The single largest source that bears repeating. That means that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. So now that you know how important listener support is to WPR, why not make a pledge? WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And the easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustainer. It means that your gift, whether it's $5 a month or $100 a month or any other amount of money, automatically renews every single year. Make the switch, make a difference, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's the season of giving, and this membership drive is your chance to do two good things at once when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. We're proud to partner with food banks across Wisconsin to provide meals to people facing hunger throughout the state. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to help people in need near you. Donate $5, $10, or $20 a month to WPR and choose one of the food bank gifts. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, that's WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. This is our year-end membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, be it $10, $15 a month, or whatever amount that you can give, is the right amount.
Absolutely. That's always the right amount. You know, you listen to WPR because you can count on unbiased reporting, interesting discussions, great music. You make Wisconsin a better place just by listening and being a more well-rounded person.
You're a listener. Now take the next step and become a member. Your first ever donation of $5 or $10 a month will make Wisconsin a place where great radio is available to everyone. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, the world, and this isn't just because I'm getting old, but the world seems to be operating at a much faster pace now than ever before. And I think a lot of that has to do with technology. But what that means is that keeping up can be a lot harder than it used to be. Well, no matter what's going on in your own life or in the news, here's a constant. WPR is always here for you. You can count on us for programs that are both enlightening and entertaining.
It's a two-way relationship. We're here when you need us, and you step up with the support that makes it all possible. Give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
15, that's the number of pledges we want before 2 o'clock this afternoon on the Kathleen Dunn Show. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes a difference.
And think about what you spend a dollar a day on. Maybe coffee, your telephone, a snack from a vending machine. It's easy to spend a dollar a day on something that's part of your daily routine.
I can tell you that my telephone costs way more than a dollar a day.
I know, mine too.
Well, what about Wisconsin Public Radio? WPR is your daily source for news. Your daily source is a conversation starter, your place to learn more. It's your public radio. Support it today and every day. Give a dollar a day. That's $30 or maybe $31 or, okay, $28 once in a while at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And 15 more pledges we need in about 45 minutes to get them. Your gift right now will help us so much. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you very much, John. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, we're going to dissect what happened in the presidential election. We've done a lot of shows along these lines, and this is an interesting study that was done right in the middle of the election when the University of Maryland's Program for Public Consultation studied 2,411 registered voters and found that Donald Trump's victory was buoyed by a broad-based, nearly universal crisis of confidence in how the federal government makes decisions. People were very upset, and many, many voters, both Democratic and Republican, were very upset about the amount of money of special interests, campaign donors, and political parties. Among Trump supporters, those views were especially intense. So how has government missed this? What needs to happen for the people to feel as though they have some say in government in this country? We this hour will be joined once again by Stephen Cull. He's a senior research scholar and director of the Program for Public Consultation at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. Very interesting program he runs. For two decades, he's been conducting in-depth studies of public opinion on public policy issues. He has worked with congressional staffers and the executive branch officials to develop surveys that help policymakers gain insight into the public's values and also their beliefs. And these groups that have been studying issues, they'll find an issue and then get all this information from congressional staffers. So you're hearing all kinds of points of view, and then coming up with your own decision about what needs to be done on a certain issue. This go-around, it's what is wrong with government and what needs to happen to restore our faith in government. We're going to be speaking with him and welcoming phone calls. I would imagine that as we look more at this election, you'll have a lot to say about the issue. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you would like to send an email, you can do that at talk@WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. Stephen is a political psychologist, and we thank you very much, Stephen, for being with us again. Hi.
Hi there. So nice to be back.
Yeah, nice to have you here. And this is so important. Everybody sort of missed what was going on here, but these figures that you have in your latest study of 2,400 voters, slightly more than that, people are just feeling terribly disenfranchised from their government, feeling it doesn't work for them at all.
That's right. The core of it, I would say, is that people feel that the government ignores the people in favor of special interests, in favor of campaign donors, in favor of the political parties, the interests of the parties. The perception is they don't listen to the people, they're not influenced by the people, that the decisions they make are not the decisions that the people would make. So they are looking for candidates who are outside that system, who are independent of the system that they perceive virtually all elected officials are in. And that's something that Trump spoke to.
Yeah. And you've been doing these studies for a long time, these citizens groups for a long time. You say that the profound dissatisfaction with government has reached new heights. Give us some historical reference.
Yeah, there was a question that has been asked for decades, back to the 1960s. It says, would you say the government is pretty much run by a few big interests looking out for themselves, or that it is run for the benefit of all the people? And back in the 60s, a clear majority, almost two-thirds, said that it was run for the benefit of all the people. Well, that started sliding downward over the years, and the view that big interests pretty much run things has been on the rise, and as of about 10 years ago or so, it got up to about 80% saying that it's run by for a few big interests looking out for themselves. Well, in this survey that we did over the summer, that number jumped up to 92% saying that it's run for the benefit of big interests. And among Trump supporters, it was even higher, 97%, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. One of the things he said on the campaign trail, you remind us, we are fighting for every citizen that believes that government should serve the people, not the donors and not special interests. And I am working for you, obviously, considering how people were feeling so disaffected. That was a line that resonated.
Absolutely. And when a candidate gets up and says things that are already there in people's minds, it creates a resonance, this person really understands me. And he also had a kind of narrative line. He said, you think the government is for sale, big interests with wealthy interests can buy politicians. Well, let me tell you, it's true. I know, because I've been doing it for years. But now I'm so rich, nobody can buy me. So you can trust me to do what's best for the people. And he said this very bluntly and vividly and over again. Even went so far as to say, I'm going to put the people in charge, not the special interests. And the fact that he was politically incorrect, and he got so much criticism from the political elite, he said, see, this is proof that I'm independent, that I'm not under the control of the regular characters who run this country.
Mm. You've done this really interesting program, and we've spoken with you many times before about the issues that you have had these citizen advisory panels look at. They look at all points of view, they study an issue thoroughly, and then come up with their thoughts about it. What's interesting here is that more than 8 in 10, and this means Trump supporters and Clinton supporters, favor establishing large, representative, scientifically selected citizen advisory panels to get briefed on the issues that government is facing and then to give government their recommendations. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there you find tremendous convergence around the idea that the government should be listening to the people. And we also asked, do you think that the current systems that are in place for government to know what the people are thinking are adequate? And overwhelmingly, people said they're not adequate. We put forward the idea, well, that elections are fine. Elections do the job versus the idea that no, elections are not good enough. Elected officials need to make active efforts to try to understand the views of their constituents in between elections. And the latter view was overwhelmingly chosen again by 8 and 10 and by Democrats and Republicans, Clinton supporters, Trump supporters. But for all of these, there's a greater intensity among the Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, you would like to see, and I think this is a whale of an idea, a citizen advisory panel, a cabinet in every congressional district and state.
Yeah, we call it a citizen cabinet. We wanted these citizen advisory panels, and the idea is to have a representative sample, a few hundred in every congressional district, that will go through a process where they're presented an issue that Congress or the executive branch is dealing with. They get a briefing, just like a member of Congress would, and then they hear arguments pro and con for different ideas for how to deal with it, and then ultimately they make the recommendations, sometimes in a context where they have to deal with trade-offs, like dealing with a deficit and things like that. And this is all done online, and people can take as much time as they want. And all of the content is vetted with congressional staffers and other advocacy groups on both ends of the spectrum, so everybody's, you know, agrees that these are the basic facts and here are the strongest arguments. So everybody's kind of in the game. And it really turns out that when people go through these processes, representative samples of Americans, they do quite a good job. They solve a lot of problems that Congress has trouble solving.
Yes. So if you were to put this in law, would you need some kind of congressional resolution to establish a citizen cabinet that would have influence in every congressional district and state?
Well, yeah, there are different ways it could be done. The idea that we have is to create a National Academy for Public Consultation that would have congressional charter and get some funding from Congress. The amount of money is very small in government terms to run something like this. Now, we've also been using private funding to do a demonstration to get a start, and we do now have more than 8,000 people going through these processes, and samples of more than 400 in 8 different, or actually it's up now 9 states. So we've gotten started with some private funding, but to do it completely so that that every member of Congress can hear from their constituents, that would probably take some congressional action.
Let's welcome phone calls for you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and we start our calls with Peter in Baraboo. Hi, Peter.
Hi, thank you once again. This is the most important issue. As a member of a school board and also an elected official on the county board, we as elected officials have been herded into a process where we are asked to make decisions without having enough dialogue with our communities. Being elected by a constituency does not mean that you have limited orientations to make determinations. It is that you are trusted to understand the issues, to have information shared with you, to be able to debate those with others who have differing ideologies or orientations, but always to come up with a better, if not the best, solution than the quickest solution. Mm-hmm. That is a challenge that we face at the smallest level of government as well as the largest. So I would love to support this on a local level, and I appreciate your guest and the work that you're all doing to bring this to our attention, because this is why we are losing a battle, if you will, of democracy. Mm-hmm. Information is not shared at the levels at which it needs to be shared to be able to make wise decisions. And as a school board member, I would encourage this kind of a process to be reinstated in our schools. We used to have civics classes.
Yes.
We used to have governmental classes that educated our young people so that they became very much engaged in these processes. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about just putting a stake in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Stephen.
Yeah, those are all excellent points, and this can definitely be used for local government, state government, and so on. And it is a whole mechanism by which all kinds of people can get involved in communicating to their representatives. One thing to clarify, too, we take these processes that people go through. We call them a policymaking simulation, simulating the experience of a policymaker. And you can go online right now, go to VOP.org, and you can try one of these out and, you know, balance the budget or deal with social
security.
Right,
it's a good way to spend an evening, actually.
Right. It only takes about a half hour. And you can solve big problems. It's amazing how much you can solve in a half an hour. And then at the end, you can summarize your recommendations and then end your attitude. address, and then zoop, it goes off to your members of Congress, to your senators, and to your member of the House, so that they can hear what you have to say. And you'll be really targeting your input at the choice points that Congress is really dealing with. We really have to put resources into distilling. You know, right now people try to understand a lot of public policy issues, whether it's at the local level or the federal level, and it's very confusing. But if you actually, if somebody really works at it like we do, to distill it down to really the essential questions, the essential points, the essential information that you need to make those judgments, it's really not that hard, and you can do it. And people at all levels of education have, it has been shown, can weigh in and make very meaningful judgments, because in the end, it's the people's judgment that really should govern. That's what Americans think. That's what they think the founders think and thought, and they did in fact say that. And the perception now is that we are basically violating the social contract that goes back to the founders.
Stephen Cole is our guest this hour, Senior Research Scholar, Director of the Program for Public Consultation at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. We're looking at a major research project they did with a number of registered voters in the middle of the last election, and found that there is nearly universal crisis of confidence in how the federal government makes decisions. People have had it with special interests, with campaign donors, with the parties. So what's to be done about all of that? And how bad is our dissatisfaction? It's pretty bad. We'll take more phone calls. Peter, thanks for yours. Our number is 800-486-8655. And this is the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn. John Munson is here, and we are in our year-end membership drive. It's you who make these kinds of discussions possible when you make your pledge of support. Please join in and help. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Indeed, we need you to help pay for the programs you depend on. That seems fair to me. We are, Kathleen, we need 12 more pledges before 2 o'clock this afternoon to make our goal for this hour and keep us on track for the drive. You can be the next. You can make your contribution, your donation right now to support the programs that that you enjoy. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
What a service this place is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it's something. It keeps you informed and entertained every single day. You enjoy this program, Zorba Pastor, Chapter a Day, many programs that you've come to rely on every day.
Oh, absolutely. And WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. Think about that for just a second. Where else can you get this kind of discussion and these kinds of topics? This is the only place that they exist. Support the exciting mix of shows you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is so darned easy. It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution, and you'll get so much back. You may want to consider a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more.
You know, that comes down to less than $4 a day. Think about all the things you spend $4 a day on.
Right.
And it makes the talk, the news, the music, the entertainment that you count on from WPR possible, not just for you, but everyone else in your community as well. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
You're thinking maybe your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, and you're right, they do, and we thank you for that.
Yes, we do appreciate that support. It is important. Here's what you need to understand, however. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our operating budget, and you're the one who makes the difference. You make the quality and variety of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. Because WPR matters to you. Make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I've always listened to public radio. My mom introduced me to public radio. Before we knew we were moving to Whitewater, I called and asked which of the radio stations we could get. We are all Ideas Network all the time. I feel like Joy and Kathleen are like buddies, and Larry, if I garden more, would be my buddy too. It helps you feel connected to the community.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson, and we are asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our year-end membership drive. It's important. Whether your pledge is $5 a month, $100 a month, we appreciate, and we really do count on your gift.
Absolutely. We really do. It really is important. This matters. You know, one of the reasons that we have so many really great guests on Wisconsin Public Radio is because they know you'll be asking great questions, and they won't be interrupted by commercials either. Your support is what makes this possible. You are the most reliable part of our budget. So give now at WPR.org or give us a call, 888-202-2552.
Well, maybe you've never pledged to WPR before, so today you can do something you have never, ever done before, and it'll be so great. You can find out how it feels.
Yes, it feels great. And you know what? If you've never pledged before, we can fix that right now.
Yes, we can.
We have operators standing by waiting to take your pledge. And you don't even need to do it that way. You can go online and do it. You know what? It feels good to support something you love. It feels great to support something you love, something that you use every day, something you rely on every day. How about making your first ever pledge of $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a great time of year to think about what's important to you, because WPR is important to you. Make a gift now. You'll feel great when you give. I guarantee you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Just while we've been speaking, two more pledges
came in, Kathleen.
In fact, we've got three brand new members already this
hour,
so that's wonderful news. Well, we need 10 more of you. 10 more of you to make a pledge before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Help us out now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Tina from Marshfield says, I listen to WPR as I drive to visit my hospice patients.
Oh.
Thank you, and thanks for the work that you do,
mm-hmm.
Tina. Help us, WPR.org. It is the season of giving. Support the radio you love. And also, you can do something else, too, right, John?
Well,
it is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can do two great things at once, because you can, when you make your pledge, you can choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $5, $10, or $20 a month. So when you give now, you'll not only be feeding WPR the funds that we need to keep on the air, you'll also be helping to feed families around the state of Wisconsin. Make your pledge now. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. You can make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. Thanks, John, very much. John is on. This will be the last time John and I are pledging together, too, unless he comes back from retirement. He'll be back. You'll come back, won't you, to pledge sometime?
I would enjoy doing
good.
That.
All right. You're on.
I always enjoy spending the afternoon with you,
thanks,
Kathleen.
John.
You know that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want you to leave us. So come on back, sir. We are going to be continuing our conversation. It was a very interesting study, and we're going to spend years, historians will, looking at what happened in this election. University of Maryland's Program for Public Consultation has been doing very interesting work for a number of years with citizen groups that examine the issues of the day. They discovered in the midst of the campaign that people were darn angry, that they feel elected officials think more about the interests of their campaign donors than the common good of people. Do you agree with that? And if so, what are the answers to that? There's a huge amount of money in campaigns in this country. How are people going to have their confidence restored if money rules? We'll have to ask our guest about that as we continue to take your phone calls. Our number, 800-486-8655. Dr. Stephen Cull is with us, University of Maryland's Program for Public Consultation. And let's go to some more phone calls. Roger in Sheboygan. Hi, Roger.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, Ms.
Sure.
Dunn.
Sure, you're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, and my question is, I wonder what the polling, I sincerely like to know, what the polling showed regarding the issue of immigration as to people that were supporting the Republican candidate versus the Democratic candidate, because it was my perception that that was a huge issue. I don't know if you want to say over 50% or not, so I'd be interested in knowing what the science showed on that as far as the you know, I guess from the Republican standpoint, the concept was that people were demanding absolute adherence to immigration law, and anyway. But could you please have
sure.
him?
Yeah.
On the Republican side, you did have a majority, especially among Trump supporters, who said that there are too many illegal immigrants in the United States, and that wasn't true on the Democratic side. However, both sides agreed strongly that, or had majorities agreeing that the government has been unable to agree on a plan for fixing immigration policy. So 9 in 10 overall agree with that, and two-thirds strongly. So the problem there is the process, that they cannot solve problems. Large majority say, and members of Congress have forgotten how to compromise, so they just get it loggerheads. So people are very on both sides are frustrated that things aren't being dealt with. But on the Republican side, particularly on the Trump side, there were specific things about the level of immigration that bothered them.
Now, let's go back to this issue of money. Your report says that. Well, it talks about Trump saying he was self-financing and denounced by leaders in his own party, which strengthened his claim that he was independent. The thing is that it does take an enormous amount of money to run for office. And if people feel that politicians are responding to wealthy donors and to campaign donors and lobbyists, well, of course they are, because they need their money in order to win re-election or to win election in the first place.
Yeah.
So don't you really have to take on the whole Citizens United decision to make people feel better about their government?
Yeah, the very large majority said too much money flows into politics, and they would like to see that amount reduced. But the Citizens United decision has made that very difficult. It undermines confidence in government, it's not that makes them favor one candidate over another, because the perception is that all candidates take money. Because that's the only way they can gain visibility
mm-hmm.
and get any name recognition going. And then if one side's doing it, the other side feels they have to do it, and we're kind of stuck in it. But so Trump was unique in that he showed up and said he did take a lot less money. He took very little, and he, or at least in the primary phase of it, and he self-financed. And he did, even in the general election, he spent less than Clinton, and that kind of added to the credibility. There's no evidence that the attraction to Trump was really so much about his policy positions as much as that he was just different, and that he wasn't beholden to anybody or anything, and people were curious to see what that would bring.
Mm-hmm. What else needs to happen, did you find from your survey, in order to make people feel as though government is responsive to them and not these special interests? What has
yeah.
to happen?
Well, they very much favor term limits. They would like to see reduction in gerrymandering. So they see that there are steps that can be taken structurally to reduce the influence of the parties, to reduce the influence of special interests. Now, we did test an idea that has been proposed by some reform advocates that wasn't real popular, and that was the idea of having the government match small donations so that there's more leverage, so the candidates can actually run without taking necessarily money from, you know, the big donors, and put more emphasis on the small donors. But people just didn't find that persuasive. Only
mm-hmm.
or so favored that idea. At least, well, you know, a lot of money going into the system from taxpayers. I don't know. But they sure would like to see a reduction in the amount of money overall.
And how broad is the support for term limits? I can't really see that happening anytime soon.
Right. The problem is that you need a congressional, a constitutional amendment, and that's really hard to pull off. But the support is bipartisan and quite robust.
Our phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the election, why it happened, and a major study of over 1,411, to be exact, registered voters conducted in the midst of the election that showed why it was that Donald Trump won and what it is that is making both Trump and Clinton and other supporters of other people very, very upset that basically elected officials think more about their campaign donors than they think about the common good of the people. And the people are not very happy. Our phone number, would you agree? And if you're not happy, why aren't you happy? What needs to change to make you feel as though government is working for you? 800-486-8655 is our number, and we have lines open for you right now. 800-486-8655. Teresa in Green Bay, hi.
Hi. You said, or he said, that people wanted to get somebody in there that's going to listen to them, that government wasn't listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a billionaire that didn't pay, a multi-billionaire that didn't pay taxes for 18 years. How do they feel that he's going to be concerned about America enough that he's going to listen to the people when he doesn't even pay the taxes that he, as a billionaire? I'll take my answer.
All right, thank you.
Well, it's important to recognize that there was a division among the American people about Donald Trump, and he did not actually win the popular vote. However, a large number of people did vote for him, and it is a very interesting question because people complain about how government favors the wealthy and all that, and you might think, well, that would make them find a wealthy businessman who's been buying politicians, as even by his own admission, and so on, would be unattractive. But what our research strongly suggests is that what was appealing is that he said, well, now because I'm so wealthy, I am independent of the system. Nobody can buy me, so I'm in a position to work for you. And he really made strong statements. You know, nobody has control of me other than the people of this country. Voters, not special interests, will be in charge. It's time for real change that puts the people back in charge. I'm reading some quotes from him, and that resonated, and all the other issues became somewhat marginalized for the people who found him attractive.
And what was it that he has said, perhaps since the election, that would make people believe that this is the guy who will give us the change that will allow us to feel like our government is working for us? Has he done anything, do you think?
I think it's too early to say. I think that, and he's been shifting some on a number of issues. It's interesting that he has shifted some on the climate issue, because you do have a majority of people saying that that they want to take action to address climate change, and we did actually one of these in-depth surveys with the Citizen Cabinet, and where they were informed about the Clean Power Plan and how it worked and what the cost factors were and pro and con arguments for whether we should do it or not, and a clear majority did come out in favor of it. So it's interesting that he's been kind of moving in that direction, had a meeting with Al Gore and so on to talk about it, and when he was with the New York Times said that he's rethinking it. So it's just too early to tell. There are certainly things that he has talked about doing that are not particularly popular. He has talked about tax cuts on the wealthy. We know that that's not popular. But then his nominee for the Secretary of Treasury has been saying, well, maybe we're not going to raise the tax, cut the taxes for the wealthy, just for the middle class. And maybe that's a kind of response to some awareness of what the public is saying. Mm-hmm. It's just too early to tell. Mm-hmm. There are so many pressures on the president, but what's interesting and makes him an intriguing character is because he didn't take much money from campaign donors, he's unconstrained, so it's harder to tell what is exactly he's going to do.
Mm. Mike, who's driving across Wisconsin. Hi, Mike.
Hello, folks. Great show. I really appreciate hearing this. Just a couple of thoughts here. You're talking about the Republicans and Democrats and how they voted, and I really think where Trump sort of came through, and I think the media still hasn't quite figured this out, is where the Democratic Party has always sort of presented itself as being part, they represent the working class heroes out there, the blue collar America. And, you know, the Republicans were the conservatives, we're going to take care of businesses and things like that. On both sides of those coins, Democrat or Republican, there was the word's been used, disconnect, that came across. And where Trump stepped in is, you know, and this is no offense to anybody, but when you're sitting there and you're talking about, okay, well, this is the bathroom anybody's allowed to use, or we're going to start working about, you know, taking away the money from Planned Parenthood, whatever the thing. And Trump steps in and goes, hey, look, you know, people are tired of living paycheck to paycheck. And I really hope that this election, and Trump's got plenty of flaws, you know, there's Trump the personality, Trump the man, whatever. But this election will force Washington and the federal government to stop and rethink how do we mm-hmm. present ourselves to the people. And I think if this was a bit of a revolution, I think, and I know there was a demographic that was put out, I believe, by the Times, that showed the amount of Democrats that voted Republican versus a far lesser group of Republicans that voted Democrat. And when you look at the demographics across America on how they voted red or blue, you really saw, I think, the middle America, where the media has wanted to play and cater to the 15% on the far left or the 15% on the far right. I really think you saw that 65 or 70% of America that really, we are Americans.
Yeah, thank you very much. Is it going to really shake things up, Stephen?
Yeah, well, we have yet to see exactly, but certainly some of the things he's saying and his basic posture. I mean, he was elected with this and really very much in response to his claim that he would listen to the people, and he does care about his approval ratings. He says so. He loves those polls that give him approval. So maybe he will be more influenced by the people. It's just too early to tell. I mean, there are a lot of forces in the Republican Party that are trying to influence him that are not always in line with public opinion, so he's going to be, and he has also expressed points of view that, you know, support for waterboarding, so that's not a popular mm-hmm. position. So it's not that his positions are uniquely attractive to people, and they don't really emphasize that either, the supporters. So it's related to process. And it's a dynamic we're seeing all over the world. I mean, we're seeing right. it in Europe, all this talk about populism. Everywhere there are candidates who say, I'm different, I'm going to shake up the system, I'm not going to be under the control of the normal suspects. People are finding that attractive because they think the democracy just isn't doing what it promised to do, mm-hmm. which is to make the will of the people the basis of government.
Yeah, and help them with their financial situation. One more quick call, almost out of time. Michael is next. Hi, Michael.
Hi. So I just wanted to point out a couple different things. One, with regard to Trump winning, we had both candidates had some of the lowest approval ratings, so I think we had lower voter turnout than normal
mm-hmm.
Compared to other elections. Two, money in politics. Really needs to be a limit to the number of ads candidates can run, because it's very difficult to audit their positions if they can say as much as they want. And I don't mean, you know, if not their campaign saying it directly, businesses and independent groups saying it for them. And the third and final point I'd like to make, I don't hold a lot of optimism about Trump's presidency because, I mean, I frankly feel the guy is an idiot. I don't think he's going to sit down and read a 500-page bill like Obama did. And the people he surrounded himself with, like Steve Bannon, for example, like, he's going to be relying on pretty much strictly advice of the keener political minds that surround him.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the keener political minds surrounding him have shown themselves in their history not to be very savory people.
All right, Michael, thanks for your thoughts. Stephen, final words.
I think the most important thing going on in this country today is that there is a rising demand for government to fulfill the contract that goes back to the founders, as the sense that it's growing from a wish to an insistence that government serve the people, that government be responsive to the people, and it's going to take all kinds of manifestations and support for a really unlikely character, Donald Trump, so somebody who never held elected office before. We have never had that, a president who hadn't previously either held elected office or was a top military general type. So this is a unique moment saying something very unique about what Americans want and what Americans need, and we need to find ways to respond to that demand. Otherwise, democracy is really in jeopardy.
Stephen, thanks. Stephen Cole, Senior Research Scholar, Director of the Program for Public Consultation at the School of Public Policy at the University of Baltimore. He's in Baltimore. That's where he is. And go to their site, because the Citizen Participation Project is very unique and very important and may be a model for what needs to happen in the country. Tomorrow during this hour, we are going to be joined by Stephen David K. Johnston, who has a lot of things not very positive to say about Donald Trump, but he's a roaring good guest, and he'll be with us tomorrow here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson in our Milwaukee studios. We're in our year-end membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Barbara from Madison says, I always love giving a contribution during the membership drive. Thank you, she says. Okay, thank you, Barbara. Be like Barbara, right?
Be John? Like Barbara, yeah.
Be like Barbara.
Be like Barbara. That's, you know, we should get bumper stickers or something. Be like Barbara.
Be like Barbara.
That.
I like
somebody
that
call
too.
Marketing stat.
So what are we looking at, sir? How many more?
We are pledges? Seven. We are seven pledges away. We're about halfway through our goal for this hour. Seven pledges is what we need in the next 6 minutes or so to make this goal. And it's very doable when you make your pledge. And here's why. Your support keeps WPR strong. Mm-hmm. It helps pay for the Kathleen Dunn Show. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been following Stephen's work, the guy we just interviewed, for many years now, and he's doing very interesting work. We highlight things that aren't as well known, but really substantial programs in understanding our government. I love doing these kinds of shows, and you're so involved in everything that's going on. I love you as an audience. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many more like this possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then you just zip, make your pledge. That's it. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, the zip is really important.
It is.
Yeah.
You need a lot of zippity-doo-dah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Zip, make your pledge. You know, a great way to share your passion for WPR, and let's face it, you're really passionate about WPR, which is why you're still listening to us ask you for money.
Exactly.
So that says a lot about you and a lot about us. So take that passion. Here's a great way to show it. Become a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle with your pledge of $100 a month or more. That's less than $4 a day. We rely on member support, your support, to make great radio.
And gifts of $100 a month are important for our future. Help us stay strong. Help us continue to grow with your leadership gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Around the holidays, you may have bought some strange gifts.
So I have a friend that loves butter, and I'm giving her a book about butter.
Not really sure what she expected me to do with the card table, and that's kind of a weird gift for a 7-year-old.
I did get a pair of socks from my cousin, except it was like 4 months late, which, you know, it was a bummer to get a pair of socks in April.
This holiday season, consider a much more practical gift. Support Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your tax-deductible gift makes the radio service you rely on possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Kathleen Dunn with John Munson. We're asking for your support of WPR. It's our year-end membership drive. Your gift, $10 a month, $20 a month. We thank you for all of your gifts.
I had an aunt who would buy a package of sweat socks, and then every Christmas she'd give you one pair.
Did she really?
Yeah.
She needed two a pair, though, because when you lose one, you know.
Well, no, but I mean, no, she'd give you a pair of socks out of a six-pack.
Out of that thing.
And she got
six years
of Christmas gifts out of that one package. Oh. She was very frugal. Oh. Anyway, I loved her. She made great donuts. You know, it's easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and we've said this before, really the easiest way is to become a sustainer, because a sustaining membership is ongoing, either from your bank account or credit or a debit card.
And it automatically renews, so you don't have to remember to renew it every year. Some people give $5 a month, some give $15 or $20. The idea is to pick the amount that works for you, set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then just sit back and enjoy.
Absolutely. You know, you hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network, this hour's guest included. What a great show. This unique radio service, it's the only one like it in the nation.
It's
Your
unique.
Support is what makes it possible, and you should feel proud about that. Pledge now for the station you rely on and enjoy. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for six more pledges,
six.
John. Just
yes.
And we need them right now.
Yes.
Right now.
They'll
give
come.
WPR to support us, your public radio.
Thank you so much if you've already made a gift. And if you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy by making your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's very easy. You're going to be finished in no time at all making your pledge, and your contribution in any amount, $5, $10 a month at WPR.org, 888-202-2552, makes all of this possible. I want to thank KP Whaley for producing the show, Zeb Gozman for on-air production, and Katie Madsen Cyrus for all of her help here getting everything together for pledge. Thanks, John Munson, as always, for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Don't leave us. You can come back and pledge on this show any old time.
You never know.